We never grab hold of what God has for us. Make sure you guys, just remember that. Remember that word. So many times we look at a buffet. God has everything that we need for life and godliness, and yet we never enter in, we never grab hold of it. We never take it. God wants us to partake. God wants us to partake. What does the word say in communion? Take and eat. Take and eat. This is my body. See, Jesus Christ didn't just die on the cross for us to be cleansed of our sins. He died on the cross that we may have everything that we need for life and godliness. He died so that we can come into his presence, that we can partake, we can be filled up. Hallelujah. It's all right. Now I can start preaching. Why don't you guys come a little closer? If I, Calvin, Summer, I know you guys are ushers, but I tell you, it's nice when we're together. All right? I don't know if you guys want to move forward. You guys come up to the front. Amen. Talking about becoming the body. How many of you guys take your bodies for granted? Did anybody take their body for granted? Maybe you did it one time, but now you're kind of like, maybe thinking, I don't want to take this thing, this machine for granted, you know? That's why I don't go to McDonald's every day anymore. You ever hear that? You got to grease the machine? Go to McDonald's, grease the machine, keep everything lubricated. So, I was discovering that I had a little too much lubrication going on. I needed to cut back. We're going to be looking at Romans chapter 12 today. So if you guys have your Bibles, go to Romans chapter 12. I'm going to have a lot of the scriptures up here. I'll be preaching on Romans chapter 12 these last two times before the new pastor comes in. It's just been an incredible journey. Have you guys felt that way these last 8 months? It's been an incredible journey, and I just appreciate everything that's happened. Appreciate every opportunity that I've been given. Hopefully you guys feel that same exact way. All right, so we're going to become a body. When you look at your bodies, they're an incredible articulating machine. There's so many different parts to your body, right? You feel that way? Yeah? Jacob, you feel that way? You're an incredible machine, man. Incredible machine. Now, we have 12 body systems, 12 functional systems in our body. And each of those systems has a very important job to perform inside of us, right? Each one of those systems is responsible for working together to produce something that we refer to as health. You all feel healthy this morning? You guys feel pretty healthy, at least for the most part, right? Then everything's kind of working together, right? Everything's kind of working in harmony, working in unity. Now, if you take one of those systems away, the other ones don't necessarily function too well, if at all, right? I like to think about our skin. Our skin is an incredibly dynamic organ. Do you think about that? When you look at it and say, oh man, that is so awesome. Look at that. Look at that skin, sweet. It is awesome. And most people appreciate their skin, right, for the most part. But I think a lot of times we don't understand fully what our skin is capable of. Not only does your skin protect your body and cover your body, but your skin is essential for your nervous system. Without your skin, your brain wouldn't have the chemicals that it needs to be happy. And we get bummed out, and it can actually lead to depression. If your skin isn't happy, your brain's not happy. And if your skin isn't functioning correctly, a lot of times waste will build up inside of your body and actually cause all of your systems to shut down. Bill Eck and I were talking about this morning. And even, you know, even my Sam, my 8-year-old, has learned this. But your skin doesn't necessarily breathe, but your skin is necessary. You can't be completely covered. Otherwise, it doesn't work, and your body kind of goes into toxicity. Have you guys ever, not that you necessarily watched James Bond a lot, but one time in a James Bond film, they killed someone by painting their body. I don't know, did you guys ever see that episode? Goldfinger? Yeah. But they did this. They actually tried to do this on Mythbusters. No, they tried to paint. They painted somebody's body to see if it actually would work. And so they had a couple volunteers. And what they did is they were monitoring their body, blood levels, heart rate, you know. And they slowly painted different parts of their body and found out that it's absolutely true. That if you painted someone, they would die because their skin wouldn't be able to breathe or work properly. And all of the internal systems were shutting down. And so they very quickly reversed the process and took all the paint off. But it is true. The skin is incredible. And we take it for granted, I think, a lot, don't we? Take advantage of it a lot. We think of muscles or heart or brain or something like that, and we put a lot of emphasis on those different parts, but we don't really necessarily take good care of our skin or even appreciate it for that matter. But it's very necessary. Now, something that we do to make sure that we have a healthy body is exercise, right? Diet and exercise, for the most part. You guys dieting or exercising at all? Kind of, yeah. Chelsea's shaking her head, yeah. Kind of. I heard you guys are exercising a little bit more often, right? Yeah, that's a good thing. Now, when I was younger, we always, you know, we'd go to the gym quite a bit. We'd do a lot of bench pressing and stuff like that, you know. Then we'd look in the mirror and see how big our muscles had gotten in the last 20 seconds. But when you go to the gym, it's sometimes it's really easy to work the things that are easy to work, but then it's a lot more difficult to work the things that are a little bit weaker, or maybe you don't see as often. And so you see these guys like that, right? You see they got huge arms, they got huge pecs, but then they got really little legs, skinny little legs, and they've got no back muscles at all. They're all just chest and arms. And in the church, sometimes that happens too, right? We like to exercise the things that are easy for us, the things that you can see a lot of, but then behind the scenes, or, you know, slightly covered, those things are atrophied, those things are kind of wasting away, those things need attention too, don't they? We don't want to become out of balance, right? Be so muscular up here that we just tip over, can't upright ourselves, or, you know, when we get older, we can't move around because our legs are malfunctioning. And so there's a balance that needs to be struck there to create health. All 12 body systems need to work together. And when we exercise, we need to pay attention to those lesser appreciated areas of our body. How many of you guys like to run? You guys like, yeah, how many of you guys actually like to run? Do you really? Yeah, how much do you run? I'm just asking. Yeah. You know, I know Randy likes to run. How's the knee feeling? Knee's feeling good? I'm in. You know, I hate running. Did I say that? I say I really, really don't like to run. But as I get older, I've realized that if I don't start to do some of those things that I really maybe don't want to do, man, my kids can run circles around me, and I'm like, you know, all wore out. And it's so important as I get older also to make sure that I have energy and I take care of my body because, you know, at a certain point in time, everything kind of goes downhill, right? Right, Rick? No. Once you get... just he's a healthcare professional. I'm asking for his confirmation. That's awesome. See, he knows what he's talking about. He knows what he's talking about. You got to take care of your body because at a certain point, things do start to decline if you're not watching out, if you're not paying attention, right? And so we need to be balanced. We have to have a balanced body to maintain health. And in the church, we have to have balance. We have to apply these same principles to our body of Christ, to our church. We have to not only do what feels good, but we also have to do things that may be less appreciated. Paul was addressing this, God bless you. Paul was addressing the same topic when we look at Romans chapter 12. He was talking to the Romans about maintaining balance. Let's look at verses 1 and 2 there. It says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind and by testing, that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for what you're doing in our church. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for the anticipation that's building, for the expectation, Lord God, that's building, not only in our church, but across our region. And we ask, oh God, that you would create balance in our lives, balance, Lord Jesus Christ, that will produce glory unto Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, have your way. Give me the words to speak this morning that will enable us, Lord, to receive everything that you have for us, for life and for godliness. Amen. You know, in life, it's natural to just to kind of get caught up in the things around us, right? To just kind of go with the flow, so to speak. Is that right? Does that happen anywhere? Just kind of get caught up, oh yeah, let's all do this or let's all do that. But we as a church are called to be different, right? We're called to be different than what we see happening in the world. We need to be salt and light. And to do that, we need to offer ourselves up to God for His purposes, not just what feels good to us in the moment, right? You can get in a lot of trouble by just doing what feels good in the moment. Have you guys ever had that happen, you guys? Have you get kind of caught in situations? If you guys are jealous about having that much fun, we'll do some of that at the end, okay? We'll do some jumping jacks, we'll do some clapping. Now, I think of this as our true calling, to do all unto the glory of God and not to the glory of ourself. There's a big difference in that, right? There's a big difference. Doing what is good for the body of Christ and the glory of God, and then just doing what makes Bobby look good. There's no Bobby right here. All right. Make sure I pick a name that nobody has. You know, I think of this a lot. When I lived on the farm, there was a lot of chores to do. There's a lot of stuff on the farm. All right, everybody had a chore. When I was, I don't know how old I was when I started doing chores, you know, working with animals and stuff. I think it was like probably like 5, you know. And so I had responsibilities as a kid. If I didn't do my responsibilities, then things would suffer. You know, like the dogs would go hungry or whatever it may be that I was supposed to be doing. You know? There's really no job on the farm that you really want to do. Like, oh yeah, I get to slop the pigs. Shing. Or man, I get to shovel out the calf pen. Oh, that is the best job ever. Please pick me. But everything is necessary for a farm to run efficiently. Right? Everything is necessary. Can you go to the next slide there, Randy? Oh, he did. No. Oh, isn't there a picture? Oh, sorry. I'll let you do your job. Yeah, just go to that picture real quick. You know, when you look at farm work, there's really no glamour in anything. But when you get done at the end of the day, you're like, oh man, that was a good day's work. You guys ever feel like that? Like you get done, you're like, oh man, I did a lot of work and it was a good job. We did a good day's work. And there's no feeling like that when you get done with a good day's work like you do when you're on the farm. Now, this is really applicable when you start to think about harvest. When you start to think about harvesting, you know, almost everything a farmer does from spring to fall is all about the harvest. Does that make sense? You know, right now farmers are thinking, okay, if I get out right now, can I get some ground broke up? Can I get something tilled? That way when it starts to get really rainy and wet, maybe, you know, if I was on the farm right now, I'd be thinking, okay, can I actually get out there and actually do anything right now? It's your eyes anticipating. You're anticipating what you need to do to plant. And then you're anticipating what you need to do to cultivate. Then you're anticipating what you need to do to ensure that the harvest comes in. There's a lot of things. There's a lot of jobs that people have when it comes to harvesting. And if somebody doesn't do their job, the harvest isn't going to come in properly, and more than likely you're going to lose quite a bit. You see, the harvest or the work that you're doing takes precedence above anybody's pride. It takes precedence about anybody's preferred job. Does that make sense? Nothing's more important than the job that we have to do. And so, yeah, it's not that much fun throwing it into the wagon. It's not much fun loading it up. It's not much fun taking it out even. It's dirty. It's grimy. It's sweaty. But at the end of the day, you feel good. You feel like, man, I did something awesome. Let's look at verse 3. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith God has assigned. When it comes to getting a job done, whether it's corporate, whether it's on a farm, you know, whether it's even like in a team situation, right? When you're on a team, there's no I in team. There's a lot of E and A and M. But when you look at this, everybody has to put aside their own pride. You know, it doesn't matter who's making $10 million a year versus the guy who's only making $350,000 a year. If that guy who's only making $350,000 a year doesn't do his job, that guy who's making $10 million, he's going to be on his butt all the time. And you're not going to go anywhere, right? If you think about like a football team, some of those offensive linemen only making maybe $500,000 a year. Pocket change, right? Pocket change. But if they're not doing their job, the quarterback who's making $10 million a year, he ain't going to get nothing done. He's going to be on his back. You're on the sidelines, icing his ankles. And so everybody needs to lay aside our pride when we look to the greater good of what's being done. You see, when people are doing a lot of farm work, or when we're on the farm, you know, I mean, I loved driving the tractor. I think that was one of my favorite things to do, driving the tractor. I think every boy loves to drive tractor. Really? Yeah. Benny, you ever drive a tractor? No? You want to someday? Yeah, that'd be kind of fun, right? Those things are huge. All that horsepower? Awesome. But if everybody wanted to drive the tractor and nobody wanted to hook up the load, then you're not going to do any work, right? Or if you didn't want to throw the bales or load the planter, you know, get the seeds in there. I mean, you can drive around all day, but you're not going to get anything done. I remember one time on the farm, this happened quite a bit, but one of these situations really stands out. We were baling hay, and it was hot. You know, it was probably 85 degrees, and we were baling hay. And the field that we were baling in is probably about a mile and a half away from the farm. And my dad was finishing loading up some of the bales that we get done. And I was supposed to take a load back home. And so I was just kind of driving down there, just kind of, you know, enjoying the opportunity to be in the tractor. Then all of a sudden, I looked out in the west, and there's this huge dark cloud coming. One of those wall clouds that you see in the summertime. And all of a sudden, you start to feel the breeze pick up a little bit. I'm like, oh, man. And so I gave her the guns, sped up as fast as I could go. We're whizzing down the road. And here's the wall of rain coming. You can just see it coming across the fields. And I just barely got that load of hay in the shed before it started raining. Because if hay, especially bale load, like dry bales of hay, if it gets wet, it just gets moldy and rotten. You can't use it. You have to throw it all out. And so if I wasn't paying attention, you know, doing a little lollygagging, you know, I wouldn't have been able to get it in there. And so we got to pay attention, right? You got to pay attention to what's going on around us to make sure that everything is getting covered. All the jobs are getting met. You know, in the church, you know, the church is described as a body. You know, Jesus describes the church as a body, right? Christ is the head, and everybody is knit together by relationships, right? So that's why it's so important to have relationships with each other, because you're knit together. It's not a dependency, but it's an interdependency. Does that make sense? You know, the brain doesn't function all by itself. It needs muscles and it needs other things to affect, right? And the skin can't do everything by itself. But without the skin, everything suffers. Without the brain, everything suffers. Without the heart, everything else suffers. And that's so true in the body of Christ. When you look at the body of Christ, we need each other to function properly. This became very apparent when Pastor Ron stepped down. We needed each other a lot more, didn't we? We needed each other a lot more, and we needed to work together a lot more. And it has shown us how necessary each member and each person is. Let's look at verse 4. For as in one body we have many members, the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Okay, not everybody, not everyone in the church is called to be a pastor. Not everybody's called to lead a Bible study. But everyone has a special place in the body of Christ. And without each of us working together, doing our job, we're never going to bring in the harvest. We're never going to bring in the harvest. We talk about revival. What is revival? What is revival? It's when people turn their hearts back to God. It's when people change the focus of where we're at and focus on to God. It's where people give up their old ways, they give up their sin, and they repent, and they come and enter the kingdom of heaven. That's revival. But without each of us being able to do our job, who's going to take care of the people who are getting saved? Who's going to help them learn about Christ? Who's going to raise them up and disciple them? You know, yesterday we were in Shawano, and there's a little place called the Tractor Supply Company. You ever hear that? Tractor Supply Company. All right. It's probably not a place that a lot of women want to go, but all the men, yes, it's a great place. Well, anyways, they sell baby chickens and baby ducks in the springtime, so you can buy there and buy 10 chickens, or yeah, 10 chickens for 20 bucks. So that's not a bad deal. 10 chickens for 20 bucks, let them loose in your backyard. They'd lay eggs all over the place. You'd be selling eggs like crazy. Felipe, does that sound good to you? Huh? Excellent. I'm thinking, we got a fenced-in backyard. And I tell you what, but they have these little baby ducks, too. They have baby ducks there for $5 a piece. And my mom lives on the river. She lives on the Wolf River. And I'm like, man, you know, maybe I should get her a couple little ducks. But you just can't buy a little baby duck, right? And just, there you go, little baby duck. See you later. Right? It doesn't work that way, does it? It doesn't work that way in the body of Christ either. Hey, little baby Christian. See you later. No, we need each other. We need each other. What if we didn't do our job? What if we all wanted to do the same job? If we all want to do the same job, there's a lot of other things that aren't going to get taken care of, right? Right? Church ain't going to get cleaned. You know, calls ain't going to be made. People aren't going to be contacted if we all want to do the same thing. when we look at this process, and when, as we look at the body of Christ, if the skin didn't want to be the skin, the whole body suffers, right? If the arm didn't want to be the arm, let's say the arm wanted to be the leg, it wouldn't work out very well. God has given each of us special gifts and special abilities to be used in the body of Christ. Some are more obvious than others, but everything is important. Everything is necessary. Everything is necessary. Otherwise, the body suffers. A lot of this comes into the understanding that God knows where you're supposed to be positioned. Right? God knew that you needed an ear at the side of your head, right? So he put you, he gave you two of them, one on each side. God knew that you needed an opposable thumb to do the work that you, God knew that. And he knew what you needed. And he knows what the body needs. Look at Jeremiah 29, verse 11. Okay, just if you want to, you can just look it up on the screen. It says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for good and not for evil, to give you a future filled with hope. We love that verse, don't we? Isn't that give us a lot of encouragement? What's the verse next? What's the verse right after that? You guys know that one? If you seek me with your whole heart. If you seek me with your whole heart. And it's just like it says here in verse, in that second verse. Surrender yourselves. Surrender yourselves. Submit yourselves unto God as a holy and living sacrifice. You see, God promises a lot of things, but there's always a little something that we're expected to do. Jesus Christ died on the cross, and we have heaven waiting for us. But what do we have to do? We have to accept Jesus into our lives. We have to repent for our sins, turn away from our sins. So there's always a little bit of responsibility on our part. We just don't happen to fall into heaven one day. We don't just trip and fall. Oh, it's heaven. Hallelujah. We have a responsibility in this. God has plans for our life, but it's up to us to surrender to him. It's up to us to surrender. And that, I tell you what, I fought that so long. I fought that for so many years. You know, when I first felt the call to be a pastor, I told my friends, and it was in Sunday school. We were in Sunday school, and we were talking about what we were going to do when we grew up. And I said, yeah, I think God's calling me to be a pastor. You know what happened? This was in Sunday school. Everybody laughed at me. All of the other kids laughed at me. And the teacher didn't really do a whole lot to defend me. You know, it's like, oh, well, you know, that's nice. Like, I really don't believe you, but, you know, I'm going to pat you on the head. And that's the idea that I got into my head about being a pastor. And that was in the church. That was people in the church. They laughed at me. And I'm like, okay, well, if this is what's going to happen, then I don't want to be a pastor. No, I'll push that aside. But guess what? God had plans. And as I surrendered myself to God's plans, God moved things in particular directions, just like Ron and Amy. Ron and Amy are in Vietnam because that's what they believe God has called them to do. And look at what God has done. God has opened doors for them. God has opened doors. As they have surrendered themselves to that idea and surrendered themselves to what God is calling them to do, God is opening doors for them. And he does that for everyone. He does that for each of us. And so you don't have to be afraid of getting sent to Africa as a missionary. You don't have to be afraid of that. Because you don't know if that's what God has for you. Right? He may be only asking you to go across the street to witness to your neighbor, to minister to the person next door to you at work or at school, or maybe one of your patients or one of your students. All we have to do is surrender to the idea, right? Surrender to what God has for us. And when we do that, we are knit together into a body. God will put us in a position where we can prosper and have a future. He's not going to let us waste our talents, right? What does God promise? to us when we lay aside our, when we sacrifice to him? What does God promise to do? What does God promise to do? I'll go over here and look at these guys for a while. What does God promise to do when we give to him? What does he promise? God promises to multiply it. God promises to multiply it. Look it up. Give and it will be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. It sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Law of multiplication. Pour it out, it somehow comes back 100-fold. You're like, throwing a little, there's only a couple bucks in there. I don't think you're not that much. But God multiplies it. God multiplies your when you surrender to God and when you pour yourself out to God, God is going to multiply that. He is going to bless it, sometimes 10-fold, sometimes 30-fold, sometimes 60-fold, sometimes 100-fold. God is going to bless that. Luke 14:11, it says, "For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." You see, so many people worry that their talents are being wasted. Have you ever felt like that? It's like, oh man, pick me, coach. When I played basketball in high school, I'd be like, oh, pick me, coach. And the coach wouldn't pick me. I'm like, oh man, that guy's such a dummy. He doesn't know what's going on. He knows I'm the best shot. Right? You guys ever feel like that? It happens. It happens in the church too. It's like, oh man, don't he know or nothing? I'm the best guy for the job, or the girl for the job, or don't you know that I know where this church should be going? I know where the, what you doing? What's going on? When we allow ourselves to believe that we know better than God, that leads to a lot of conflict, doesn't it? Leads to a lot of bitterness, a lot of anger, a lot of resentment. You see, God positions people for a reason. You know, you guys have seen the process, right? Do you guys believe that in regards to Pastor Jimmy? Right? God did some awesome things there. Well, don't you think he does the exact same things for you guys and for the people who are already here? He positions you. He positions us exactly where he wants us to be. If we are surrendered to him and allow ourselves to just trust in him. See, the crazy thing is, the devil cannot steal your calling. He cannot steal your job. But he'll do everything that he can to steal your joy in regards to it. I mean, Adam and Eve had everything they could ever have wanted, but the devil somehow sowed a seed of discontent. Well, you don't have everything. There is something more you could have. So you could do more. Man, you could do so much more. You should be in charge of something. Or, man, you should be up on the worship team, right? You should be up there leading. Just easy. All right? But you see how the devil works in that? You say, well, why did they get to do that? Not me. Can't the pastor see that I'm more qualified than they are? I've heard all of those different things, and I've seen all of those different things in the last 13 years that we've been a part of New Freedom Church. The devil will try and steal your joy, and he'll try to get you to be discontent and bitter. And when that happens, man, the devil is rejoicing over us. With all things. We can trust in him where we're at, whatever we're doing. We don't have to strive for it. God will bring it about. God will open the doors. We just need to be obedient. We just need to surrender. We just need to listen. Isaiah 58:9, is an example of something like this. Maybe you guys can write it down, you can look it up later on. But it talks about what pleases God's heart, not just, you know, what pleases God's heart isn't religious activities. Religious activities don't please God. You know, you can go to church every day for your entire life, and you're never going to please God. That's not going to make him happy. Loving God with your whole heart and loving each other as ourself is what's pleasing unto God. We can fast and we can do all this stuff. That doesn't necessarily please God. And when you look at Isaiah 58:9, it talks about this. Is that you can fast all day, but if you're critical, if you're complaining, if you're whining, you know, God's not going to answer your prayers. But if you remove the critical speech, if you stop complaining, then he promises to start working. You know, when we find that contentment, when we find that surrender to God's plan, when we surrender to him. You see, we are, as a body of Christ, and each one of us, we are called to such a higher purpose. Such a higher purpose. And it's difficult to see, especially when we look at things going on around us. We can get caught up into that mentality where it's you know, if it's going to be, it's up to me mentality. Have you guys ever heard of that? If it's going to be, it's up to me. Have you guys heard of that? Well, in the body of Christ, it really doesn't necessarily work that way. If it's up to God, it will be. Even in spite of me. I mean, I tell you what, I can't remember how many times where I just didn't want to do something, man, or just didn't want to do something, but God did it anyways. You know, he's like, oh, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do that. Or you're in conflict with somebody. Oh, I hate that person. Don't like them. They didn't know it all. And then all of a sudden, once you get to know them, they're like, hey, then you're best friends. Does that ever happen to you guys? All of a sudden, you're best friends with a person. It's happened quite a few times in my life. And every time that happens, I'm like, okay, Lord, am I supposed to be best friends with this person? Sooner or later, God turns it around and does something awesome. 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10. You see, when we are called as a body of Christ, it's not for our good, okay? Being called as a pastor isn't for my good. Being called as a worship leader isn't for Amanda's good, or a Bible study leader, or a small group leader, or anyone. Person who cleans the bathrooms, the guy who runs the sound booth, the person who does kids, the person who does toddler church. It's not for our good. It's for God's glory, and it's for the people who aren't here yet. It's for the people who aren't here yet. Why was God so hard on the Israelites? Why was God so hard on the Israelites? It's because they were supposed to be the example for everyone else to follow. And why is he so hard on us sometimes? It's because we are called to be a priesthood. But what does it mean to be a priest? It means that you are serving the people and helping them draw closer to God. That's what it means to be a pastor. That means to be a Christian. Just to be a Christian, that's what it means. When you are calling yourself a Christian, that means that you are there to help everybody else find Christ. That's your job. No matter what it is, whether it's vacuuming the floors, setting up the sanctuary, making some food for potluck, it means that we are called to that purpose. We are called so that when the world looks at us, we are showing an example of what it truly means to be Christ-like. That's what a Christian is, right? Christ-like. And if we don't accept that, when we don't receive, when we don't receive even the smallest jobs, you know, if you don't cherish or appreciate even the smallest jobs, you're probably not going to go much further than that. You see, we have all been called by God. We are all gifts for the good of the body. I mean, if you didn't have fingernails, could you scratch an itch? If you were my 5-year-old, if you didn't have fingernails, could you pick your nose? No, you couldn't, right? Without fingernails, you couldn't pick up a penny. It would hurt too much to try and pick up a penny off a flat surface if you didn't have fingernails. It would hurt to try and do that. See, fingernails, even though in some folks they're not much, right? And some people chew them off. But they're necessary. They're necessary things because they enable opportunities. They enable us to function, right? If you didn't have ears, your glasses wouldn't stay up, right? Your glasses wouldn't stay on your head if you didn't have any ears. So we are all gifts. No matter who we are a gift. We have been called by God. We are a gift for the good of the body. Let's look at verse 6. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. And the one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. I think that covers pretty much anybody in the church, right? Serving, giving, encouraging. See, everything has an equal importance. The brain can't say to the rest of the body, I don't want you. Because neither one can survive without the other, right? It's necessary. And so when we look at different jobs within the body of Christ, cleaning, cooking, hospitality, those are just as important as someone who has a gift of healing or a gift of prophecy. All of them are equal in accordance to the body of Christ, right? Everything is important. Everything is necessary. If we all try to do the same thing, it would be like that guy who only works his chest. Right? If you never looked at any other thing, right? Don't look at the guy's legs or anything else. You know, just look at his, he's got a big chest, big muscles. But it'd be pretty obvious he's lacking something if he tried to run, you know, if he tried to run a mile. Right? As soon as you try and run a mile, that guy would be poof. Be like, oh, so that's why you guys need to work your legs. I mean, I've seen this repeated in churches. Have you guys noticed that? Have you guys noticed that when a church is out of balance, a lot of times when a church tries to do something, it falls flat on its face. It doesn't work out. Everybody gets kind of discouraged or bummed. Has that ever happened to you guys? Have you ever seen that happen in a church? Oh, we're going to do this. We're going to get excited. But then the pieces aren't in place. And so everything kind of falls apart. It happens. If we're out of balance. It happens when we're not paying attention to the little things. Those less visual items. Right? Or the things that we feel are less importance. You know, when Paul talks about this with Timothy, he uses you know, being a soldier as an analogy. And one of the guys that I like to look up to, and I kind of read a lot of his work, he kind of uses the same kind of principle in his description of the body of Christ. Okay? When you look at an army, each person has his own job to do, right? All right, so you got the foot soldiers, or you got the people who are the scouts, All right, then you got the main group, and then you got the radio technician or the communicator, communications officer, and you got the medic, and then you got the officers that are kind of directing things, and then you got the sergeants, and you got the commanders. Everybody is important. Everybody is necessary. You know, the foot soldiers. All right, so people who may be a foot soldier in the body of Christ, these are the ones that are on the front line. They're the ones that are right there working with people who don't know Jesus Christ, who could care less about Jesus Christ, but they're the ones that are fighting for them, right? You're fighting for somebody who doesn't know Jesus yet. You're on the front line. You're a foot soldier in the body of Christ. You're necessary. It's important. Then you've got the officers who relay commands, right? You got, however you want to pick this, Bible study teachers or small group leaders, you know, relaying information, relaying commands, encouraging people. Then you've got the sergeant, the master sergeant who runs people through boot camp. Get in shape, boy, give me 20. But he's necessary, right? I mean, that sergeant is necessary, even though nobody really wants to hang out with him because he's, you know, a crusty dude. And he's kind of cranky and irritating, but he's necessary, right? Because if he doesn't do his job, then people aren't prepared. And that happens a lot. If new Christians come into the body of Christ and there's nobody there to train them, no crusty old drill sergeant, if there's nobody to train them, what happens? They fall away. They're lost. They go back to the world because there's nobody there to encourage them. There's nobody there to teach them the right way. Those things, everybody is necessary. If one of them doesn't do their job, then everything falls apart. One thing to remember is that there is no Rambos in the army of God. Right? I mean, it's exciting. Guy goes out there and kicks 50 guys' rear end. Whatever else he does, I don't know. Shoots down an airplane with a handgun. You know, it's a miracle. If we are all Rambos, right? Rambo does it all by himself. Do you really want to do it all by yourself? Is it really that much fun doing it all by yourself? Nah, not really. It's nice when you've got people around you to care, that care for you and encourage you and help you to do the right thing. All right? What happens to Rambo when there's nobody there to help him? What happens to Rambo when he's wounded? Yeah. He's all by himself. He can take care of himself, right? That's probably why he became Rambo in the first place. You see, there's people who are here on the front lines. You guys are reaching people for Jesus Christ. You're praying with people. You're leading them to the Lord through prayer and relationship. And then there's people here that need to create an environment that is welcoming, cooking and cleaning and calling people back, and so that nothing's forgotten, and everybody feels appreciated and everybody feels accepted. When you don't feel accepted, you're not going to come back, right? All right, and that's what we need to do. We need people who have the gift of hospitality to welcome people in and to encourage people. We need people to do all of the jobs that we think are not that really important. Right? Everybody wants to be an evangelist. Everybody wants to be a pastor. Everybody wants to be a teacher. You know what I'm saying? Everybody wants to be the worship leader. Well, maybe not everybody, but not me. But if everybody's doing one thing, the church is out of balance. The church falls flat on its face in its attempt to bring in the harvest. You see, Jesus Christ, even back, you know, 2,000 years ago, Jesus said, the harvest is ripe, right? It's right there. It's right in front of you. But the workers are few. Now, what he meant by workers, he didn't mean we need 100 more evangelists, or we need 100 more pastors, or we need 100 more apostles. What he meant is that we need everybody on board to make sure that nobody is lost, to make sure that the harvest comes in safely. See, no job is less important or more important when it comes to the work at hand. And to be able to bring in the harvest, to be able to function as a body of Christ and to reach the world for Christ, we have to be able to trust in God and trust in the leadership, to humble ourselves and believe that God is going to position us correctly to produce a balanced body, right? To produce a balanced body for Him, for everybody around us. You see, some of us, maybe you guys never heard this before. Maybe you've never really appreciated your gifts. Maybe you've got gifts to use, and you're like, oh man, why do I do that? Why do they always ask me to do that? Or why does, you know? If you like to cook chocolate cake and you don't feel appreciated, just let me know. Maybe you've never thought of your gift as important before. You know, maybe you never thought that you could just serve. You could just serve. You could just clean the church. And if you like to clean a church or mow the lawn, you know, I mean, that is important. That's necessary. You know, ushering is necessary. It's incredibly important to the way things work in a body of Christ. Making phone calls is incredibly important to the body of Christ. If nobody has ever told you that before, I apologize for that. I apologize on behalf of any leader that made you feel less important for not having some kind of ability to prophesy or heal the sick. Some of us have always wanted to have prestige, to maybe have a position that wasn't ours necessarily to take. When we're faithful in the little things, God will make us ruler over much. Right? We're faithful a little. God will make us rule over much. You see, if God wants you to be in charge, or if God wants you to have prestige, or if He wants to make you a leader, He will make you a leader. He will make you a leader. You don't have to force things. God will open doors when the timing is right. When the timing is right. You know, some of us don't really know what we're supposed to do. Some of us may have such a strong desire to do something, and that's okay. That's great. That's a good place to be in. God is going to tell you. God is going to speak to you. All we need to do is spend time with Him, spend time in His presence, and ask Him, and He's going to show you what He wants you to do. We're going to turn the lights down and just have Amanda just do a couple chords. And just take some time this morning. If you need prayer, if you need to repent, if you need to just spend some time seeking the Lord's face, now is the time to do that. Now is the time to just seek a little bit more of God. He's going to open the altars up. You guys want to come up and pray, just come up and pray. We are all necessary. We are all important. The body of Christ is not complete without you in it. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Holy Spirit. We just pray that across this room that you would just touch hearts and bring honesty,